Welcome to Rethink Retail, the show where we dive into the stories and strategies behind some of the most successful brands on the planet. From brick and mortar giants to e-commerce disruptors, we uncover the secrets to their success and deliver the keys to true retail transformation. So ask yourself, are you ready to rethink retail? The future of retail starts now.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm here with Jeff from Grove Collaborative. And I think a really great place to start, I think we all know that sustainability is such a hot topic in retail. It's really become table stakes, really, for any retailer or brand. And I think a lot of folks realize they can't phone it in anymore either. So I'd love to learn more, Jeff, about where you guys play in that mix and your perspective on sustainability and the work that you do. And also, if you could share a little bit about your career journey and how you ended up at Grove, that would be awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. A pleasure being on this podcast and appreciate it. I'm excited to talk about Grove. Grove is the first plastic neutral retailer in the world. Our foundation, our connection as a company is to try to transform the consumer products industry. And candidly, we aren't that small anymore. So we are aspiring to be the leading sustainability retailer. And what we do is we partner with like-minded businesses and companies like Target on the brick and mortar side and Ball Corporation on aluminum packaging. And what we're trying to do is transform this industry and recognize that plastic is a real problem and that we have to start with packaging and truly transform and change this industry. And so I mentioned we aren't small because part of our mission is to include this phrase, we want to transform the consumer products industry, because candidly, we believe that if we had this really high bar and just served a really small demographic of customers, this isn't what we were brought here to do. And so what we were really brought here to do was to try to transform this industry by being a leader in sustainability and in plastics. And so let's talk a moment about plastics, because even though it's table stakes, there's so much more work to do. And I feel like we're truly just at the beginning of this. And so for me, this also connects with why I joined Grove. The starting point that hit me was when I really learned and internalized that only about 5% of all plastic in the United States gets recycled. I mean, this is jarring. And when we think back in time, we realize, and there's been a lot of documentation around this, that the plastics industry was trying to, for a generation, persuade customers that we were making more progress than we really were, with the arrows on some of their kind of plastic packaging. We thought that we put everything into those big blue bins and everything was getting recycled. And the reality is, it really isn't. And plastic, there's a whole industry and machine because it's so cheap and easy and can be used for so many different types of, from packaging to even included within product. It's just been spread far too much and we don't really know the implications. Kara, I don't know if you saw the news, but just this week, like, look, we've known that there have been microplastics in plastic bottled water for, I think it's about 5 years now. I think the first study came out in 2018. But just this week, a new study came out that actually is from Columbia University scientists who determined that in a 1 liter bottle of water, there are 240,000 nanoplastics. And we just don't even know what this is doing to our health. So when Grove looks at all of this, we realize that there's a problem. 5% of plastics getting recycled. We've got the massive Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which we know is large, but do people listening to this podcast realize it's twice the size of Texas? We don't have a solution. And governments are starting to take some steps. There are city governments across the country that are setting up plastic regulations. It started with plastic straws, and we keep making the right type of steps. The EU recently actually took a very big step where they literally banned exports of plastic waste, trying to hold their country still accountable for the plastic waste that they really produce. And so from my lens, this mission, it's why we exist. It's why customers choose us. And you know, early on, I said we aren't small. Many of your customers may not know this, but we have had 5 million customers trust us. And so I'm proud of this company. I didn't found it. I just joined in August of this year. You asked a little bit about my journey. I was drawn to Grove because of this mission. And if you go back in time, and you say, Jeff, tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, I'm interpreting your question that way. Is that fair, Carol?
Paraphrased, yes.
Yeah, like, it's just like my journey, like, I think it actually starts, not necessarily with my education, but it actually starts with my mother. I sometimes describe myself as my mother's son. And what I mean by that is she was a single mom. My dad died when I was a kid, and she raised three different boys, had this tireless work ethic, like personality type wise. She was off the chart extrovert who just loved connecting with people. And I'm pretty close to that. And that's how I'm wired. And so for me, early in my career, I thought about many different ways to try to connect with people and have an outsized impact. I thought about many areas in the public sector or in the nonprofit sector, because coming straight from my mom, there was something about our role on this earth has got to be greater than ourselves. And so I remember where I was when I reached the decision. I was 25 years old, been out of college a few years, had been working at a consulting firm, building up some skills. I actually, my mom immigrated from Mexico when she was a kid, not knowing the word of English. And so I was actually working in Mexico, trying to build railroad systems that would enable public transportation to be more affordable for Mexicans who are commuting to and from work. And I remember thinking, there is this opportunity that the private sector has to have an impact at massive scale, to attract great talent, and to really transform industries. So I remember where I was living in Washington, D.C. I was at a Whole Foods, and I reached the conclusion, this is where I want to go. So for the last 20 plus years, I have focused in the private sector. When I came out of business school, I joined Amazon. In those early days of Amazon wasn't the Amazon it is today in 2004. Some of the core elements were there. Bezos's tenacity and his personality came through the organization. The customer obsession was clearly there. Many of the leadership principles were already baked in. But for me, I saw an opportunity to really transform an industry into a better customer experience. And my hopes would be to also have a better environmental type of impact. You fast forward a few years later, I ended up becoming the first MBA guy or MBA type to become a buyer. Because I remember when I was in business school, the core of retail is ultimately buying. Like, it's buying. It is understanding the P&L, taking the responsibility, driving the progress, finding the minute details that can really lead to a better customer experience. And so that journey accelerated, and Amazon took a chance on me and gave me a job I didn't deserve, where they asked me to go replace a founder in Madison, Wisconsin at a place called ShopUp. We were relatively small at the time, about $100 million in revenue. It was the week Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. In the middle of that transition, we just focused on the customer. I looked back in time. There were a few hires that really made a lot of sense for our team. We focused on our team, and we just unlocked explosive growth. And so ShopUp today is closer to $1 billion type of gross retailer. And super proud of that work. And then Amazon just kept asking me to take on larger jobs. So I've got this 20 plus years of e-commerce experience. Most recently, I replaced the founder at Zulily, which is already at $1 billion in revenue. And then when I thought about what was next, I was taking a little bit of a break after Zulily. I was trying to figure out what companies out there are really trying to transform an industry. I'm trying to recognize the impact isn't just to shareholders and not even just to customers, but to a greater calling. And that's how I came across Grove.
Wow, what a journey. But it sounds like, you know, there have certainly been some commonalities and just this determination to make a difference, you know, through whichever platform you had. And I think that's just wonderful. And, you know, along with that, as the CEO, you talked about, I want to ask you a bit more about the plastic neutral standard and, you know, kind of dig deeper into that. And that obviously is a big goal, not only for the company, but also it sounds like to have that radiate into the other stakeholders and partners that you work with. So are there any other priorities that you've defined now that you've, you know, had some time to sort of get settled in, or that are maybe different than they have been in the past for the company, or maybe ones that are already just you know, very set in the mission of the company that you want to take to the next level?
I didn't have the right answers on day one, and I obviously knew that. And so immediately when I joined, I did a handful of things. One of the things that I've done is I'm on a listening tour where I literally am meeting with every single employee in the company, learning about their job, their journey, what they're great at, but also allowing them to have a voice and space to explain to me what makes Grove so special. Because very early on, if you were to meet our Grove team, you'd realize these are A-plus players, but wildly collaborative and wildly connected to this mission. And after every single one of these, you know, 100-plus type of conversations, you better understand the culture and the strategy. So that was the first thing I did. The second thing I did is
And how many
early.
Employees was that?
We're about 140 in terms of one-on-one conversations.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, look, I think it is my favorite part of my week. It is just a chance. Like I mentioned earlier how I'm this extrovert. I truly get energy from others. We're also a remote first culture. And so there's something about companies that are trying to be truly remote first, how you still enable connection with each other. And we're still learning, you know, the pandemic was just 3+ years ago. Like we are still learning on how to do this. And I think we're doing it through real connection. So we're trying to protect the space to care and to know each other really deeply. And so that listening tour has unlocked a lot of insight. But the second thing that I did that unlocked comparable levels of insight is in the first offsite I had within the first month on the job, I pulled together some of the leaders. And the first day, all we did was read customer comments, thousands of customer comments. Like I just believe companies need to truly internalize their purpose and why they are meaningful in the lives of their customers. And we have these 5 million plus customers who've trusted us for their purchase and trusted us because of our approach to curating the right type of products for their family and the environment. But they have a massive insight. So initially we split them into promoters and detractors. We had some that were more recent comments, more age comments. We broke into small focus groups. We had all of the comments up on the walls. And we spent a day listening, internalizing, and trying to make sure whatever strategy we unlock and determine, we are going to be anchored around delivering this meaningful purpose, like this meaningful value to our customers. Really proud of that. And then I would say with some of that and some of the Grove learnings, I also have some learning from some of these past e-commerce roles that I kind of wove together, pulled our senior leadership team together that we call the RBR, and we quickly got aligned on where the business is and where we wanted to go and try to figure out what some of those differences are. And so, you know, the business and the journey is really quite fascinating because we have been this leader on sustainability. I would say some of the things that from what I've seen across e-commerce, what I was amazed by in terms of the health of the business was one, these customers. When we were listening to all of these customer comments, they love our products. They are great customers who are trying to make the right decision for their family. And they're trying to find the right type of product that doesn't put all of this waste into the environment. They're looking for a partner, a curator, a trusted brand to help them make that decision. And what's fascinating to me is even the customers who don't purchase often, when we survey them, they still love us. They still think of themselves as Grove customers. So the first kind of element of our business is we've got this really strong customer base. The second element is the sustainability. And in terms of sustainability, it's meaningful in the lives of our customers. Like customers care about this. This is why they're choosing Grove. They trust us to deliver for them. But the sustainability in this listening tour becomes really clear. It's also why we're connected to each other. Many of our employees, they're so talented, they could go work anywhere. And the question is, why Grove? And we try to create this great place to work for them. But a lot of this, candidly, is this mission. Like, we're this small group of people who are trying to achieve incredible things. And we know we can do it better together. So that's the second big thing that would jump out. I think the third thing that would jump out is we have to be profitable. Like, you step back and think about the private sector. And by the way, there are a lot of online companies that are going through this journey, and many have been going bankrupt. And the question is, who will really survive? And in my opinion, the ones who won't just survive, but will actually thrive, will be the ones that are really, that matter in the lives of their customers. Their customers would be sad if they went away. The customers trust them, and that's our starting point. And then the second thing is, I think companies need to realize and internalize profitability matters, especially at this moment in time where zero interest rate environments are gone and it's harder to go raise money. Like, profitability matters. And the question is, who will be really prioritizing that? And so that's probably our third big element that from where I sat, I thought about the business and it's like great customers, great kind of sustainability, great like path to profitability. And that path to profitability, if you break down a P&L, you have to think about the box economics. And so for us, what's magical is we sell a lot of $7, $5, $8 items, and we still can make money and give value to customers. And the question is, how does one do that in a world of Amazon and Walmart? And from my lens, the answer is by building great boxes, giving an incentive for customers to add a lot of items to their box so they can have this more carbon neutral and a box that allows us to aggregate enough product that shipping costs are effectively amortized and we can still deliver tremendous value to our consumers on a price value perspective while still making all of the offsets and running the business the right way. So in terms of where we're going, like, we have these great box economics, great customer, great connection because of sustainability. I think from my lens, we've just created three different priorities that may speak for themselves. And it's, let's keep building this customer first work, organization and customer experience. The second is, we're going to win with sustainability. We really believe that there's a massive market here. There's a market where customers are trying to make the right decision when they're looking for someone to trust. And we are that leader in helping to either create some of our own products that are kind of not just plastic neutral, but are really pushing innovation in terms of sustainability and packaging. But we also curate other great brands. And so we are that destination in terms of sustainability. And then lastly, we're going to prioritize profitability. This is what we've been talking about. And I'm excited about how to do that when you get into a P&L and say, how can we do this a little bit better? How can we do this a little bit more efficiently? And so that's where we are and where we're going.
Wow, those are some big goals. But, it sounds like you're trying to pull all the balance together with, a company that's purpose-driven, that also has purpose-driven customers and purpose-driven employees. So I would think you sort of have the wind at your back on that. Well, one thing that you mentioned that I did want to ask more about is when you talk about your own brands, and I know part of your background is actually in private brand development, yeah. And you're very familiar with that. So what do you see as the ideal balance between private brands and national brands? And particularly when, obviously you guys are, as you mentioned, trusted curators for those mm-hmm. national brands. Mm-hmm. Your customers count on you to vet those brands and to know that they're the ones that they want to use through their concerns around sustainability and other issues. So what do you think is the right mix between your brands and national brands? And have you achieved that yet?
Oh, I love the question because it's actually something that I am taking a little bit of a different approach to. I think there are some other leaders who may be in this type of situation and they'll realize their P&L may need, their own brand to be X percent of the total. It's just not the way I think. I think we're in business to serve these customers. And so our job is to put the right product in front of the right customer at the right time. And that right product could be our product because we do really great things. And I can't wait to tell you a little bit about that. But there are also other great national brands that are doing great things. And so from my lens, I've not met another retailer out there that has as many dark green customers as we do. When I say dark green, I'm talking about the type of purchase decisions they make that are based off from a sustainability lens. And so
I love that term. I'm going to have to use that.
Thank you. Well, so I mean, we truly have millions. There are a million active, and we have these inactive customers that when we talk to them, they say, I'm still a Grove customer. Don't call me inactive. I love you guys. Let's do this, right? Like, let's go change this. And so we have these customers, and our job is to serve them the best we can. And sometimes the national brand will have made even more progress from a packaging perspective or from a product perspective. And great. And we're going to be there to help tell that story of that national brand. So I'm not working backwards from a specific formula. I truly work backwards from what is the right thing for the customer. Now, you've given me a chance to talk about some of the cool things that our internal team is doing, the Grove Co. team. And, you know, like, we really did pioneer the idea of using concentrates in terms of cleaning and in terms of home product. So if you just think back 5-10 years ago, and actually this is still happening, like how many people listening to this podcast right now are buying a 64-ounce big tub of laundry detergent? And they're buying it online. You're shipping around this country from coast to coast all this liquid that is overusing, like the impact of the environment, if you were to break down all the implications, not just the last mile of that big, heavy jug, not just the fact that it may not get recycled, not just the fact that all of that waste goes into the environment. There are more efficient ways. And so the first great innovation in that I'm really proud of our team is we were the leader in concentrates. And so if you walk a Target aisle right now, you will see either for dish soap or hand soap, this really beautiful bottle of like soap dispenser and then a concentrate. And all you have to do is mix it with tap water. And, and so like this alone was the first step of us starting to transform this industry. Now, when we think about laundry detergent, we actually think about laundry sheets. Now, I'm not talking about dryer sheets. I'm talking about laundry detergent sheets that you can ship and have such a smaller impact on the environment. And then what's interesting about branding, candidly, is the impact of how brands can play on connecting to a consumer's subconscious instincts and intuition. So one of the things that we are in the middle of trying to make sure our customers are aware of, and many are, is like that smell, that bleach smell that often is in cleaning products that makes you psychologically think, oh, now everything's clean. There are just as good, high-performing products that are better for the world that can perform that way, but just may not have that smell. And so one of the things that I would say, I don't want to say we're combating, but like that more every day, more and more customers are realizing is that there are really high-performing products out there that are great for your family and great for the earth. And so, you know, when I think about this Grove Co. team, we may have started with concentrates and helping the industry understand that you can mix that has a wonderful, like minimizing plastic impact and minimizing also carbon impact of shipping all of this around. I think the laundry detergent sheets, I'm also really energized. But just this coming year, I think the first products just landed on some Target shelves on the East Coast are some new products and new packaging that enables customers to get into our product set in the way of trying to use your wallet to reflect the values that you and your family have. We've got some new ready-to-use aluminum type of product. And again, aluminum costs more than plastic. But when we look at the overall impact of what is right for the earth, aluminum stands quite strong compared to plastic, which we really are in a bit of a plastic crisis and of our own making. So from my team, I'm really proud of what we're creating and what we're doing on the Grove Co. side. But when we meet, I was just talking to the team this morning, they need to build the best products out there, period, that are high performing, high quality ingredients, and sustainable.
Well, and if I can ask you something, you've mentioned Target a couple of times, and you know, one of my mantras lately has been that true scale isn't achieved in a single channel. And Grove Collaborative certainly embodies that, because in addition to your direct-to-consumer business, you are selling to other retailers. You have a wholesale side that I imagine is expanding with top retailers like Target and Walmart and CVS, Kroger. Do you see these as distinct? Are you treating these as distinct businesses, or do you see your wholesale and your direct to consumer as part of a sort of a larger brand story? And how do your customers view it as you expand into these new channels?
Oh, I love the question. It's really insightful in terms of where the industry is right now and how businesses are trying to figure out how to get in front of the customer at the right time. So from my lens, I mean, I've spent 20 plus years in e-commerce, so I have some pretty good instincts there. But when you want to reach customers where they shop, you have to think through an omni-channel lens. So we may have started initially with a really strong e-commerce business where we got to levels of scale, the 5 million plus customers. But we realize that's not enough to transform and change this industry. So how do we get in front of more customers, educate them, bring them into our product set so they get used to and understand the concentrate concept and they start prioritizing packaging that is not plastic? We meet them where they are. So we have about 7,500 brick and mortar locations. Target is one of our best partners, but you mentioned Walmart, Kroger, CVS, Meijer, Wegmans, H-E-B, like one after another. We keep meeting customers where they are. So the question that I'm hearing is just how, as a CEO, are we balancing this brick and mortar strategy with this online strategy? And so again, when I think about the omni-channel strategy that we have, we're meeting customers where they are. So that's these 7,500 doors across all of these different partners, great partners. I also think we do that while in parallel learning on the D2C side of the business, on the dot-com side. You're able to even learn faster. You get feedback in real time from customers, and what that enables us to do is absorb that feedback and make product even better. And by making that product better and faster, we're able to present a better story to our retail partners. And all of this is in this attempt to transform this industry. You know, I don't know if I've ever explicitly called out our mission, but like, for us, we are relentlessly creating and curating high-performance planet-first products for the people who are paying attention. And so that is where we're going. And so when you think about how you reach them, you have to be in Target. You have to be in Kroger. You have to be in Walmart, CVS, Meijer. And so that's where we are. I would say the opportunity, it's a gift to be able to have a direct relationship with your consumers. It's a lot harder and more expensive to get that customer feedback that I was talking about that in the onsite that I had in my first month on the job in a pure retail relationship. And so our ability to listen to customers, know what products are working, get that feedback, and have it accelerate our product innovation cycle has been critical for us.
Yeah, and it sounds like you also just by osmosis will be helping retailers achieve their sustainability goals too. So they have to be pretty happy about that as part of that larger mission. And, you know, I do want to go back to talking about you being the first plastic neutral retailer. And tell me more about these new metrics and also how, you know, like how you're achieving them, how far along you are. And also too, maybe the role that education plays in this. You know, alluded to that before, that you hope to have an influence on CPG companies and the industry as a whole, and you have some really big goals in that regard. So how does all that tie together, and how do you achieve something like that? And how do you get others to want to achieve it with you?
Well, I think education is a starting spot. But for us, like, let's just be really clear. Who are we? Yes, we're this, you know, first plastic neutral retailer in the world, but we will continue to be a leader today and tomorrow in moving the consumer products industry beyond plastic, period. And we're striving for this transformational change. We're developed new metrics in terms of measuring plastic intensity. How much plastic is in every dollar of revenue? This is a metric that the industry hasn't historically used, but we're holding ourselves to a higher bar and have made some great progress in helping to change the industry to think through this plastic lens. Anecdotally, I've heard since I've spent some time at Amazon, even Amazon's move towards that climate pledge friendly type of filter was inspired by the very concentrates that we were creating. And so you see it on the retail side that we can have that type of impact, even though Amazon at times may feel like that, you know, maybe a competitor. The reality is we are changing how retailers and brands are really thinking about the impact of plastic. So for us specifically, we just launched this Beyond Plastic badging system to increase transparency for every single item. So for each product, we're clearly communicating, hey, this is 100% plastic free. This is 95% plastic free. And this is no single use plastic badging.
Now, is this for your products only or for national brands too?
For all national brands, for all of these brands. One of the, when we're launching product in our store and curating it, this is why we have this really small curated selection. We are truly measuring this for every single item. And that plastic intensity metric, you know, we're not just, we're working backwards from what is the right thing to do for the industry. So just even recently, we actually expanded the definition of it to include some product that is in the gray area of what is plastic. And what we're trying to do is not optimize for a metric, but just trying to do the right type of thing. We've launched a third-party plastic working group of about 100 plus other kind of values-aligned brands, such as Seventh Generation, Toms of Maine. And we're just sharing best practices, challenges. How do we do this a little bit better? And then just today, we just announced that we hit a significant milestone. This is, we have collected more than 15 million pounds of nature-bound single-use plastic from the environment in the last 3 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And this is through our ongoing partnership with Repurpose, Repurpose Global. They are a great partner helping us to achieve these goals. And what I believe is there is space. This world is not going to be brick and mortar, Amazon, Walmart, and a handful of other retailers. Customers deserve and need more choice and alternatives. And where we are positioned and how we can help is by helping that thoughtful consumer who's trying to make the right choice, who wants to be a part of the solution, who's willing to pay for a plastic offset, who's willing to think about their purchases to aggregate their needs rather than getting 3 to 5 different items showing up at their door every day, aggregating their kind of shopping behavior online in a way that reduces the carbon impact. And that's where we're going. And so what I'm proud of is whether it's the Amazon Climate Pledge friendly kind of filter or some of the brands we're partnering with, we're trying to share all of these best practices and we are trying to bring this issue more to the forefront, and it will continue to be through education. And so if you subscribe to our email, if you're an existing customer, thank you to all your listeners who are. I think our job, the responsibility we take, is to be able to help you make the right decision for you and your family. We're going to do that with education and curation.
Before we wrap up, I did want to ask you, going back to the expansion piece, you know, one of the hottest categories out there, and it's a big one, is health and wellness in all of its different forms. And every retailer out there, it seems like, is trying to attack the opportunity, dollar stores, in one way, shape, or form, like I said. So I understand that you're expanding into health and wellness, which I think with the trust that you've built in sustainable home products is a natural extension that your customers probably appreciate. So I'd love to learn more about that. And how are your customers responding to that initiative? And, you know, how do you plan on differentiating when so many others are jumping into that space?
I love it. Thanks, Carol. Like, by the way, I feel like you're shopping us all the time. Like, your insight into our customer experience and how our product selection is changing is incredible. Appreciate it. And so, look, what we realize is this trust. Like, if you were to ask Jeff, what is the greatest metric you hope to measure? I want it to be customer trust. Like, and we've got to earn it. And we've done that. As we think about sustainability and sustainable home care, we're there. And with that trust, it's given us the permission, and our customers have asked us, can you please offer, you know, XYZ type of products? And so that they just guided us as we listened to our customers into the health and wellness space. And so for us, since Q2 of 2022, we've nearly doubled the percentage of orders containing a wellness item. It is already.
Can you give me an example of the types of products?
Yeah, think multivitamins, think supplements, think the type of health and wellness that you are putting into your either daily routine in terms of the supplements that you take, or that are in behind your mirrored kind of vanity in your bathroom that you're taking. And so for us, it's those daily regimen products that our customers are using for us. It works with our subscription model. It just shows up every single month. And right now we've had such great success. Just this past week, we discussed in our weekly business review, we set another record high. The last 2 weeks, we just keep breaking our record in terms of percentage of orders that are including one of these, what we call health and wellness SKUs. And in terms of thinking about it and how we continue to earn our customers' trust is we don't just put any type of multivitamin into our store. We have this really high bar, high ingredient standards. We've worked with and developed our own type of advisory board made up of clinical experts and doctors and medical practitioners who are thinking about what are the right things to put into your body. And so as we've had this holistic type of approach, we've picked the best of the best type of products to get into our store. So when I was talking about trust, the trust started with these dark green customers, but are going to increasingly move and are moving in real time to trusting about the type of products you put inside your body. And so for us, this is a clear path to growth, but not our only path to growth. Strategically, the way we think about this is we're this trusted destination for customers, and we're going to take that trust and listen to our customers and make sure that we're offering them the things that they need in their daily regimen that we can ship to them on a monthly or bi-monthly basis, so that they have the most planet-friendly, wallet-friendly box, and they're restocked, and they're able to allow their values to go through their wallet and their purchase decisions. And we are that partner to help them make those decisions and to help find the best products in the world and put it in front of them.
Well, that's awesome. Is there anything else that you'd like to share in terms of what's around the corner, new launches, partnerships, maybe even more category expansion?
You know, I think category expansion is certainly always on the table. We are regularly talking to vendors and national brands. This is very different from the past places where I've worked, where often retailers are asking a lot of brands to come sell onto our platform. We have so much incoming interest. We're just trying to be really, really deliberate in where we're going. I'll just say our customers can expect more great curated product with these high ingredient standards, with sustainable type of values and packaging. And there will be a lot more around the corner.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for joining me today. It's such an exciting trajectory that your company's on. I look forward to following your progress. I love your mission, and I love the change that you're driving. So thank you.
I love it. Appreciate you, Carol. And thank you.
You bet.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Rethink Retail podcast. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. And if you're interested in being a guest on the show, apply at rethink.industries/podcast guest. That's rethink.industries/podcast guest. Follow us on Twitter at rethink_retail and show some love by subscribing on iTunes podcast app. Until next time.